come to this Battle of the Bands thing?
You have a band.
Yeah, we're terrible.
Mr. Pilgrim! I'm Ramona's first evil ex-boyfriend.
What?
Wait, we're fighting over Ramona?
Didn't you get my email explaining the situation?
I skimmed it.
Mm-mm.
What was that all about?
If we're gonna date, you may have to defeat my 7 evil exes.
So what you're saying is we are
dating?
I guess.
Does that mean we can make out?
Sure.
Scott Pilgrim!
Prepare to feel the wrath of the League of Evil Exes.
Ramona dated twins.
At the same time?
If you want something bad, you have to fight for it. Step up your game, Scott.
Combo!
Break out the L word.
Lesbian?
The other L word.
Lesbians?
What are you doing?
Getting a life.
You want to fight me for her? Why on earth would you want to do that?
Because I'm in love with her.
Scott Pilgrim versus the world.
Maybe next time we don't date the girl with 11 evil ex-boyfriends.
Seven.
Oh, that's not that bad.
Beautiful Tuesday morning in gorgeous Toronto, Ontario. By gorgeous, I mean probably the shittiest city in Canada. But compared to some of the alternatives, fucking fantastic. Thought I'd just get out of the house, take a little stroll, soak in some weather. It's been crazy hot lately, like heat wave hot. Today's got a nice breeze, might make my recording sound shittier, but a lot nicer for me. I live in this part of Toronto right now. The street's called the Esplanade, near the St. Lawrence Market, CN Tower, all that. Kind of reminds me of Gastown in Vancouver. I've been spending way too much money lately. In fact, yesterday... I get into that shit later. Point is, I was like, I'm gonna go get a coffee, but I had to dig into my laundry money just to get some fucking coffee, because I don't have a cent on me. Don't want to hit the bank machine yet. Can't spend money you don't have. Alright, so there's this girl named Lindsay Ellis, who she calls herself the nostalgia chick. And she's really clever and funny and stuff, and she did a video a little while ago about blonde pop stars. Kind of charting the history. And one of the things she played, it's this chick named Kesha. I guess I was kind of familiar with this song. I think they even used it in The Simpsons one time. But it's just this ridiculous fucking pop song that's totally fucking catchy and cool. It's been a while since I've delved into pop music shit. Sometimes I can get into that stuff. And it's been some time, so I was like, man, let's check this out. And not only is this song catchy as shit, like, it just starts out with this super awesome little hook. And it's got these little, oh, wow, wow, oh, parts in the chorus. Just fucking catchy as shit. And it's the most ridiculous video. This chick wakes up in the bathtub of some random house where I'm presuming there was a party the day before. Stumbles out, heads downstairs to where this fucking... family's just having breakfast. It's like, what the fuck? Why is there some cracked out bitch coming down our stairs? And she's just like, sorry, whatever. Hops outside, proceeds to make her way to the next party fucking stop. And the dude that she hooks up with on the way is just awesome. He's got this ridiculous mustache, just like super anti-cool, just retarded, totally silly. Then she has another big ass party night. And passes out in someone else's bathtub. Like, that's just fucking excellent. That is classically fucking great. That's the kind of shit that makes me like, I don't know, man. If I worked on pop music, that's the kind of shit I would want to make. Like, it's just... bad role model, fucking ridiculous message, total bullshit. Let's just do this. And I'm definitely far enough removed from actually giving a shit about fucking music, the current state of it. I got no problem listening to pop music. If anything, the problem is I can't listen to enough pop music because I don't like enough of it. Make more shit that I like, will ya? I fucking was checking out some Lady Gaga, and I realize her and Marilyn Manson are claiming the same influences, David Bowie, androgyny, 70s shit, but she should be claiming Marilyn Manson too. Holy fuck, man. I hope Marilyn Manson has seen that shit. I think he'd be proud of her. Talk about taking the whole Mechanical Animals aesthetic and just turning it into a pop act. Anyway, the point is Lady Gaga's music sucks dick. I fucking hate it. It's just super generic, shitty pop. And I'm not saying Kesha's... I mean, I guess Kesha is, if anything, worse. But I don't know, man. I just like it. I like it better. And the other thing is just, man, I don't know. There's the blonde drunk party girl. I mean, I met a bunch of them in my time. But I've met a couple that are, like, super hot blonde girls, love going out drinking, doing all that, but that are also just super cool and funny and awesome and friendly. And it's such a, man, it's such a crazy mix. Because, you know, that's like the fucking, the queen bee of our ridiculous fucking pop culture society. Is the hot blonde fucking chick. And a lot of them use their powers for evil. But man, when you meet one that's just cool and awesome, that's cool and awesome. Anyway, some pop music to start off this morning. Some Kesha, TikTok.
Hi, I'm your nostalgia chick. And I'm here to tell you, it's okay.
Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
Hey,
no, really, it's okay. Vapid blonde pop stars have existed since the dawn of time, and always will exist. I don't think there's anything even guilty in taking pleasure in something as vapid as Britney Spears, Lady Gaga, or even Kesha.
Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
Hey, what up, girl?
Grab my glasses, I'm out the door, I'm gonna hit this city.
Let's
before
go.
I leave, brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack. Cause when I leave for the night, I ain't coming back. I'm talking pedicure on our toes, trying on all our clothes. Boys blowing up our phones. Dropped up and playing our favorite CDs. Pulling up to the parties, trying to get a little bit tipsy. Don't stop, make it pop, DJ, blow my speakers up tonight. I'ma fight till we see the sunlight. Mick Jagger. I'm talking about everybody getting crunk. Boys try to touch my junk. Gonna smack him if he getting too drunk. Nah, we go until they kick us out. The police shut us down. Police shut us down. Po, shut us down. Don't stop, make it pop. DJ blow my speakers up tonight. I'ma fight till we see the sunlight.
Oh,
in.
Don't stop, make it pop. DJ Gloma speakers up tonight. I'ma fight till we see the sunlight. Tick tock on the clock, but the party don't stop. No.
So what's happened to us? Has pop music reached its zenith of stupidity with Kesha? Do we really care? I say it's time to stop fighting it. It's okay. Let's just enjoy the ride.
Maybe we are headed into an idiocracy. Maybe Kesha really is the sign of the coming apocalypse.
I think it might just be a little less painful if we follow the wise, wise words of Lady Gaga and just...
Songs like that, though, they have a short shelf life. I don't particularly often go back and listen to old ham radios. It's nice to have them. Nice to have a chronicle of whatever fucking shit was going on at the time in my life. But if I do happen to come back and listen to this one, I'm sure I'll be like, what the fuck? I liked that song? What the hell? I don't know, though, the video helps. But as it stands, yeah, man, that's catchy shit. Remember there was one night in New York when I was out drinking and ended up hanging out with Cole and Patrice. And, man, it's such a very long ride out to where I was living in Queens that instead Cole dragged me back to where she lived in Brooklyn. I just crashed in the spare room. And Cole herself is one of these just super cool, hot blonde chicks, man. I loved hanging out with her. She was the coolest! You know, it's funny, too, just how video gamey pop music has become. I mean, I'd kind of take it back to late 90s, turn of the aughts with the Neptunes and stuff. But I remember when I was a little kid, I was on some family vacation. I was blabbing to my mom about something in the back of this van that we had that had, like, a little table and shit you could set up. And I just remember bringing up, like, video game music. Like, you know, in 20 years, like... all you kids are going to be just listening to Space Harrier music and stuff. I was like, hey, who knows, man? But I didn't really believe it. I knew video games was, like, enough of a subculture that it's not like it's going to be on the radio. But I was kind of wrong. I mean, it's not quite my generation with the one that came just a few years after me. You can't fucking walk two steps without hearing a blip or a bloop of some fucking kind. Which is cool to me. In fact, let's play... a video game inspired fucking rap song. This is a guy named Mega Ran. I was watching this documentary. Sorry, I'm going through an underpass to get down to the water. It's kind of loud. I was watching this documentary about World of Warcraft players. Because that shit fucking pisses me off and disgusts me how fucking much of people's lives they invest in this fake phony shit. Can't remember what it was called. Anyway, it turned out to be a pretty good movie. It actually kind of cast these poor fucking fucks in somewhat of a more sympathetic light. But I remember when I was babysitting my cousin's daughter, Allie. God, he was so into this fucking bullshit World of Warcraft. Not going to work, neglecting the household just to play this stupid shit. Makes me hate all of you guys. And hey, you know you're very hateable. Don't try to pretend you're not. So at the end of this documentary, the song that played over the credits was this song, Can't Seem to Grow Up by Mega Ran, or just Grow Up. It's a nice little tune based on some Mega Man music.
I just can't seem to grow up. I said I just can't seem to grow up. But you know what?
What?
I don't think I want to. I just can't seem to grow up. But you know what?
What?
I don't think I want to.
Okay, okay, okay.
I was a youngin', maybe 7 or 8, when I was up late playing games 4 hours straight. Babysitter on the couch trying to get a freak on. I'm passing level after level thinking I'ma be pawn. But little did I know they didn't have any endings. Every couple of levels I would go back to the beginning. Hard lesson to learn, but I recovered fine. Couldn't beat Pitfall and got tired of trying. But when the NES came around, I had to get down. If you ain't have it on the block, then you was bound to get clowned. My game was Super Mario, I played it to death. First to get 100 men kicking turtles on the step. Learned that from GamePro, but it's a shame though. Nowadays video games ain't the same, bro. Too complicated and they ain't worth the price. You know something, they a lot like life. And that's why I just can't seem to grow up. I said I just can't seem to grow up. But you know what?
What?
I don't think I want to. Say I don't care. I know you are, but what am I? I just can't seem to grow up. I said I just can't seem to grow up. But you know what?
What?
I don't think I want to. I just can't seem to grow up. I said I just can't seem to grow up. But you know what?
What?
I don't think I want to. Every game in front of me, my peoples wanted none of me. Ran steals in video games, they couldn't front on me. Mom knew how to punish me, take away the cords, till I thought they used the AC adapter from my keyboard. That's when I knew that it was something amazing. My boys would get in trouble, I was cool cause I stayed in. Latchkey kid, home alone like Macaulay, and 20 years later hosting Halo parties. Cause I just can't seem to grow up. I said I just can't seem to grow up. But you know what?
What?
I don't think I want. I just can't seem to grow up. But you know what?
What?
I don't think I want to.
Songs for anybody who's ever been teased for being a nerd. Don't sweat it, it's gonna be alright, man. Fads come and go, but intelligence, it never went out of style. Keep reading them books, though. But, lose the suspenders and the pocket protector. Mega Ran signing off.
So I'm kind of down by the waterfront. I skipped the first Tim Hortons I walked past because it was kind of crowded. And then I was thinking, like, maybe I should just save my money because I'm probably going to end up getting one of their fancy pants ice drinks, which is a little more expensive because it's getting kind of hot out. Now that I'm down here, I'm like, fuck, I could totally go for one of those. But this is the one stretch from, like, Young heading west down by the water where there's no Tim Hortons for a while. I mean, this is fucking Canada. I'm used to just every fucking 100 feet there's a Tim Hortons. Except Vancouver. It had very few. Maybe there's one around here I just didn't spot. Anyway, let's stick with video game music type shit for a little bit. I was going just through random directories of stuff, tossing a bunch of shit in a slush pile. I came across some Mindless Self-Indulgence. I haven't listened to them in a while. And they're a fucking fantastic band. They're kind of the definition of the fucking hyper video game. You know, wake up in the fucking crack of dawn Saturday morning, eat a bunch of sugar cereal. In my case, because it's Canada, I had to go, like, sit on the heater with my brother, taking turns so we wouldn't fucking freeze to death. Waiting for those fucking Smurfs or whatever shit to start, watching cartoons, just hyper bullshit. Super great band. I saw them twice, and man, it was a good time. I did the standard getting drunk the first time, and then the second time it was all just fucking energy drinks and fucking pixie sticks, and I came down with a fucking slushy afterward. Super great. This band is just all about, it's like almost like The Cure, but 200% faster. Like, all the individual parts of songs are all pretty simple. But it all comes together in this really frenetic start-stop. You know, red light, green light, everything is, in that sense, I don't know, more like Rush or somebody, just like kind of technical. I don't think there's really any point in trying to compare them to other bands, especially those ones. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But especially once you get to know these songs a little bit, you know when they're going to shift. Oh man, good times. Fucking fun. That was one of the shirts I lost in my Great House Fire. It's my sweet ass MSI shirt. So I'll play a couple songs by that band.
Piece of shit, and yet miraculously somehow we all seem to deal with it. Did anybody think that you would really seriously set your ass in fact. Not think that everybody thinks you're seriously full of shit. You think you're saying something relevant as you connect the dots. You never realize you have to get in line to suck a cock. You're telling me that 50 million screaming fans are never wrong. I'm telling you that 50 million screaming fans are fucking morons. You don't.
Standing, I don't know, two or three blocks away from the CN Tower. It's so insanely huge, you know. It's like the tallest freestanding structure in North America. It's hard to, I don't know, man, just to get a real sense of perspective. To really understand exactly how big it is. It's like, it doesn't look as big as it is, I guess. But then you start to realize that from pretty much any point, you can almost always see it. You know, all the other buildings come and go. That one is pretty much always looming in the distance. Although the new World Trade Center building that they're building, it's going to be almost that big. I think they said 12 meters shorter. Which, I mean, 12 meters, that's pretty... It's a fair amount of space. But it's an actual building also. I mean, this thing, it's just a tower. Seems like a bit of a jip. It's not like a real building, you know, for it to be tallest. But, yeah, the Trade Center one, I think it's weird that the reason it's 12 meters shorter is they want it to be 776 feet tall. Because America was founded in 1776 or some shit. I don't know, it's just such a, what a weird, quaint thing. Just having these little things you believe in, I don't know, little, whatever they are, traditions. Canada doesn't have that so much. You know, in America, you see, I mean, we got a lot of Canadian flags. That's the maple leaf does show up a lot, but not like the American flag does. This shit's on buses, man. It's everywhere. And God bless America. You know, we don't have an equivalent. We don't have God Save the Queen. We don't give a shit. So this is a song. I suppose I started with Kesha. It's another kind of unusual song, not the type of stuff I normally listen to. Some time ago, Mike Garrod, he's the guy who got the branding in my very first XO episode, he sent me a link to this video called Love Deluxe by Cinnamon Chasers. And at the time I watched it and I was like, that's fucking super cool. But then I went and watched it again a little while ago and like the second wave really hit me. Like I really realized just how insanely good that video is. Like holy fucking crap balls, man. It's the fucking coolest. Love Deluxe by Cinnamon Chasers. I suggest you go check it out. It's fucking cool as shit. It's like three little stories. One goes along and then rewinds and the next rewind. It's so good. And it's, but the music video, it's for this kind of generic techno song, kind of long, just a sort of beat, but I ended up watching that video so many times that I really started to get into that song. And I think it kind of helped me understand a little bit more, like, how one becomes a fan of that type of music. Ian used to be really into that stuff and would talk about, you know, the build-up and the breakdown and all the steps and stages and the subtle changes and how important all that stuff was when you were, you know, at a rave or at some kind of fancy pants dance party. And I think I'm starting to get it a little bit because, like, with that particular Cinnamon Chaser song, like, there's extremely occasionally they'll throw in these two little finger snaps, and it got to the point where I could anticipate where they were going to come, and all these little sways and shifts seemed relevant. And in fact, fuck it, I wasn't going to play that song because it's, you know, in a lot of ways it seems like it should be a backdrop for a video. You know, it seems too kind of generic to play on its own, but if you don't like it, you can just fast forward it. And right before that, I'm going to play, so I went and tracked down the Cinnamon Chasers album, and I was like, I don't know, we'll see, you know, because this really is not my type of music. We'll see how this goes, we'll see if anything sticks out to me. And most of the rest of the album are shorter songs that have words. I'm just sitting at a little park, a couple blocks from where I last was blabbing about the CN Tower, and there it is, man. Like, if it fell toward me right now, I think it would squish me. It's really fucking big, man. So, yeah, I wasn't sure how the discovery, the listening of the Cinnamon Chasers album was gonna go, but there's this song called Wishing for the Fire that really stood out to me. And maybe it's because, I don't know, my mind was kind of thinking about Ian, my ex-girlfriend, and how she was into this type of stuff. Type of music, and I was not. But I don't know, it really just reminded me of her. The vibe of this song reminded me of the good days with that chick. It's a pretty neat song. So Wishing for the Fire, and then I'm gonna play Love Deluxe by Cinnamon Chasers.
Love is
So I'm still down by the water, and it's this little part where they kind of made like a fake beach. They got like this little rectangular area where they just brought a bunch of sand down here and made a little phony beach. It's kind of cool. I like the water. I like living down near here. It's very nice. And today being a Tuesday, it's fucking deserted. I mean, there's still probably, just by looking around, I can see about 30 or 40 people, but when I was down here on the weekend, holy fuck, you know, it's like, it's crazy on the weekend. It's just so, I don't know, weird how everybody just falls into your job, your 9-to-5, you know? It's fucking summertime, it's gorgeous, especially in Canada, you only have so much of this. And if that many people are out on the weekend, obviously this is where they want to be. You know, as soon as they get a chance, they hop right down here. So it's just like, what the shit, man? Like, can't you... I don't know, you got your whole life to figure out some kind of job where you don't have to fucking slave away through all the good weather and just, I don't know, man. Whatever, though, I guess you get to have things, right? You get to have shit I don't have. Hell, I don't even have internet right now. Gotta go to the damn library for that shit, but... But no, you know, you get your giant TVs and your fucking DVR and your digital cable. Yeah, no, you get all that. Have fun. Enjoy that. Meanwhile, I'm fucking sitting down here by the water, dickface. You stupid fuck. I don't know. Maybe it's nice. Have a big house. Have two cars. Have all the kids. You know, even that. All this, like, oh, man, the economy, the recession, la, 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 la. Go look up house sizes, man. Look how big houses were in the 50s. Look at the little bungalows people considered a totally fine, acceptable house. Now look at houses now. They're like 200% bigger. No wonder you have no money. No wonder you spend your whole life slaving, you know, to be in debt for fucking 20, 30 years. It just doesn't make sense, dude. Probably anyone listening to this is not so much one of, you know, I don't know. This is fairly obscure. Fairly obscure little podcast. You probably got a lot more shit figured out than the average bear, but it seems so weird to me. The you know, the scramble, always trying to get somewhere, get to the next thing, hit the next goal, buy the next fucking, there's no point, man. There is nowhere to get to, alright? Your grave is the only place you're going to get to. Everything else is already happening. You're already here. It's going on right now. This is it. This is what is important. Should not be wasting it. Because, you know, we're all gonna die someday. Seems pretty abstract to us most days. Hard to wrap your head around. The way I like to think about it is that it's not that you're gonna die and the world's gonna keep going, because, yes, that is literally what's gonna happen, but that's not... doesn't matter anymore, because you're gone. What's really gonna happen, from your perspective, is that one of these days, the world is gonna end. All this stuff that's here that you're looking at right now, all this stuff around you, all the stuff you like, all the stuff you hate, it's all gonna disappear. The clock is ticking right now. We're all moving in that direction, and I think you really need to keep that in mind. And I think that view, that it's your world, you know, the world is the one that's gonna end. I think that's gotta help, right? You know, like, don't just go out of control, don't be a total asshole, don't freak out, but this is your world, this is the world you're in, and you're only gonna be here for a little while. Get what you want out of this. That being said, man, maybe it's clear by now that I didn't get my coffee. But I blew, oh god, I don't know, 2 weeks? Way too much time editing footage. When I was down in New York last, they didn't have any bonus feature stuff for Keith's DVD. We were thinking of maybe making a compilation of some stuff from their marathon for their book release. but that all melted in my fire. So I was like, okay, well, I'll film some shit. We'll sort something out. I was going to, like, interview fans and stuff, but I don't know. I was there to fucking party down, you know? I couldn't stay motivated. I don't care anymore, you know? Last year, I did an amazing bonus feature for them. It took, like, 2 months to put together, and it was awesome. It was so worth it. But that is my... That's my send-off. That's my fare thee well. That was my final big Keith and the Girl thing. So this year it was just me walking around with a camera in one hand and a drink in the other, similar to the bonus feature I did for them like 3 years ago, but not as good. I was not as invested. It didn't turn out great, and their expectations for their DVDs have grown. You know, they want their shit to look more professional. So I put this thing together, about 18 minutes long. And it was a nice little indication of what that weekend was like, what it felt like to hang out there, but it was very amateurish, very home video. So when Keith said, you know, I don't think this is the direction we want to go, I was like, yeah, okay, that's totally cool, I understand. But it just make me wish, like, I would have had more fun in New York if I wasn't filming a bunch of horse shit, and certainly would have had more fun here in Toronto. I wouldn't spend all that time editing. It was a little disappointing, but, you know, that's all right. My computer back home in New Brunswick, I was hoping I would have some key backups still on there that I did. Turns out I did not have, because I thought I'd never see that computer again. So I had everything backed up like twice, you know, all my important stuff on two different portable drives. I figured if one fails, I still got the other one. I didn't think about house fires and then everything goes at once, you know. So mostly it was... Well, the main thing I'm disappointed in is that bonus feature I did last year. It was called Once a Year, and it was about how my friend Keith does stand-up once a year. And the interview with him in particular, there's a whole lot of material I didn't use, and I was going to make it into an XO episode someday. And sadly, it is all gone. But again, you know, it's like, oh well, I'll see him again, I'll interview him again one of these days. But that sucked. That was quite disappointing. The final last reverberating kick in the balls from that house fire. I mean, it's been like a couple months now, but this is the one last thing. Nothing else can possibly, you know, this is as bad as it can get now, but it sucked. So let's bring the mood down a little, shall we? Let's play, this Trent Reznor song, Non-Entity. He first would just perform it as like a little quiet piano version, and he finally released a studio one, and it's basically the underbelly of it is a quiet piano song, but with loud drums and guitars and yelling added to it, so it's a weird Frankenstein version. And then I want to play, it's called The Drowning, it's by Trent's new band, which is called, like, How to Destroy Angels, or some stupid fucking name like that. It's basically just, Nine Inch Nails with a girl singing, and it's a very similar type of song to Non-Entity. Very much Nine Inch Nails. The first time I heard this, I was like, man, these guys are really good at ripping off Nine Inch Nails, and it turns out that's because it is, in fact, Trent's new band. Very recognizable as him, but a very nice little tune. So let's listen to those. I guess it's pretty well known and pretty well documented how smells can trigger memories. Something about it just being really hot out, really bright sun, and I just walked past somebody wearing suntan lotion and it brought all these memories in. I remember visiting Florida. I went 2 or 3 times with my family, but like when I was really young. Then we went again when I was 17. That's the one I remember most clearly, obviously. And I remember, I think I'm thinking of one of the times before then, because I remember I was listening to a lot of Guns N' Roses, Use Your Illusion. So this would have been like 1992. I definitely remember, yeah, being on the plane, listening to it on a Walkman. Anyway, arriving in the city and just being in, I assume it was Miami, maybe Orlando, I don't know where the airports are in Florida. But just stepping out onto the tarmac and just how it felt so different. You know, just the smell of the air, particularly, I guess, from fucking in the middle of winter in Canada, but the smell of the air, the way the trees looked, just something, everything seemed so different, you know. Just the feel all around me. It was so obvious I was somewhere else. Really far away. And I think kind of echoes of that memory are a lot of what makes me happy to be in new places. Go to a new city and just to feel that excitement of being somewhere new and somewhere big and somewhere exciting. And then, you know, after you've been there a little while, it starts to fade. But I just got a little taste of that. I guess that's why I like... After growing up in a fairly small city, being in a big city, it's kind of like being on a vacation all the time. Vancouver was especially like that. I don't know, neat thing. Let's play a couple of songs from that era. Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, I really like those albums. Those are some classics. Let's play Pretty Tied Up. And then Locomotive is this really long song that's kind of like half good and half shitty. But the good parts are really good, so let's play those two.
We'll be right back. coat and got to feel the bitch off my back.
man, I just walked by this Japanese restaurant that also brought back a memory of this one particular place I went in Vancouver, only this one time. Just these weird little memories hidden inside my brain. But there's a sign outside for some kind of beer, and it says, "'Cause life's too short to drink cheap beer." I was thinking, like, man, like, we just take that type of thing for granted. That's just a cliched phrase. It's well-worn. But if you were an alien, say you were an alien who lived for, like, tens of thousands of years, and you're on the planet of these little human beings that just fucking get born and flare out almost immediately. That would be such a notable cultural artifact, the life's too short creed. You know, you probably would see it all over the place. A million billion little signs that we're aware that we're fucking gonna die soon. Weird. And probably not coincidentally, I happen to be listening to an alternate mix of Mad World from Donnie Darko while I was having these deep thoughts. Let's listen to that. Music definitely has an effect on my mood. All of these fucking I guess it's that I'm listening to these kind of not in the same order that they're playing exactly. So I just got hit with the How to Destroy Angels song, followed by the Donnie Darko song. I'm like, holy shit, I gotta listen to something more upbeat, dude. Started with Kesha, for fuck's sake. My morning is starting to get dragged down into the fucking mud. But one more. This is a song by Hayden called Bad As It Seems. I think it's the first song from his first album. His first single. I didn't totally get this song as a teenager, but the older I get, the more I like it. This is some classic Canadian blues. Hayden, Bad As It Seems.
Keep me.
Alright, here's a nice little tune, the very next one. This is a pretty chill, fucking sweet little dude tune. Back in the days of CDs, when I was still a teenager, I remember I would join the BMG Music Club a lot. Because, you know, there was a Columbia House where you got a shitload of CDs for like a cent, but then you had to buy a bunch at full price. BMG had a way better deal where it's like, I think it was like you get 12 CDs free and you only got to buy two. Or it was like more per CD, but a lot less commitment. I don't remember exactly. Anyway, I would join it on a fairly regular basis with slightly different names and stuff, but totally legit. I didn't just rip them off. So I'd be trawling through their listings, seeing what I could find that I wanted to check out. Remember one time I went with a bunch of Jimi Hendrix, whatever the three main albums were. You know, Are You Experienced, Axis, and Electric Ladyland. And going through them all, I think my favorite song, my favorite Jimi Hendrix song to date, it's called Up From the Skies. And I don't think it's a very popular Jimi Hendrix song, because I've never really heard it anywhere else, but I fucking love this song. I think it's my favorite little tune he ever did. It's really short. It's about UFOs. Apparently he was kind of a, you know, alien space theorist type of fellow. Like, from what I heard, Purple Haze, everyone just assumes it's about drugs and shit, but I heard it's based on a short story that he read. Science fiction short story about purple mist on another planet. So this is Up From the Skies, a nice little UFO tune by our friend Jimi Hendrix.
I heard some you got your families living in cages, tall and cold. Some just stay there and dust away past the age of old. Is this true? Please let me talk to you. I just wanna know about the rooms behind your minds. Do I see a vacuum there? Or am I the growing blind? Or is it just a remains for vibrations echoes long ago? Things like love the world and let your fancy flow. Is this true? Please let me talk to you. Let me talk to you. I have lived here before. Days of ice, and of course this is why I'm so concerned. And I come back to find the stars misplaced and the smell of a world that is burned. A smell of the world that is burned. Maybe it's just a change of climate. Wow. I can take it, baby. I just wanna see. So where do I purchase my ticket? I just like to have a ringside seat. I wanna know about the new Mother Earth. I wanna hear and see everything. I wanna hear and see everything. I wanna hear and see everything.
Alright, I looped up around back into downtown, away from the water. This is back where, when I first moved here, I lived near Bathurst and Queens. Bathurst and Queen. So I spent a lot of time in this particular neighborhood when I first got to Toronto. And I always like being in this area. Being back in this hood, this is basically Toronto to me, this whole downtown area. And it's just nice, you know, to walk around the city and just to... I spent a lot of time walking, just to have the fact that I like it here reinforced. It's sort of it's a self-perpetuating system. The more I walk around, the more I remember how much I like it. Vancouver was like this too. New York was not like this. Just got, you know, more and more on my nerves. But yeah, it's nice just to be walking around. Just soaking all this shit in. Just all these people, all these buildings. Plus, it's summertime now. That's nice. Anyway, let's finish off with the Penny Arcade guys. Penny-arcade.com. I've been doing a TV show lately. Started off, first, I don't know, I was like, this is okay, but it's, I kind of miss the old podcast they used to do. But it's really grown on me. It's become pretty cool. Whether you're into video game culture or not, I think it's kind of worth checking out, because these guys, it's pretty amazing what they've done. They started just doing this web comic strip back in the 90s, and it's grown to the point now where they run this huge charity, and they give away scholarships, and have their own big convention. It's pretty fucking amazing. They play a lot of chiptunes, which are just basically video game music. And in the most recent episode, it capped off with this song. I don't remember what it's called, but it's really cool. It's like video game music, and then with a banjo added in. And the mix of the two things. Let's Go to Tokyo, it's called. The mix of the two styles is really cool. The hard left and rights at the beginning are a little strange, but it seems like a really good tune to play as I walk around on a sunny day, the beautiful streets of Toronto. Toronto, as they call it. They don't pronounce the whole word. Toronto. And yeah, my hands are going to be full once I finally get to a damn Tim Hortons. I think I took the one route in town, the longest possible route between Tim Hortons. I somehow just snaked around them. So yeah, my hands are going to be too full to be recording in a scant few minutes. So this is my adios. Talk to you next time. Bye. did I say it was all done? Bonus track, one more. Because, yeah, I found all the people. Down by the water, nobody. Now that I'm in the heart of the business district, the huge buildings everywhere, man, this is where all the people are. Suits as far as the eye can see, but it is such a hot day out that, you know, a lot of dress shirts. Not always the suit jacket, but some of these suckers have got them. Sweating your balls off, so I gotta wear your shitty suit. Anyway, I just heard one more song that I gotta play. It's, man, I can't believe I fucking forgot his name, but the dude from Derek Comedy, the black dude who's on Community. Plays Troy in Community anyway, and he's, Derek Comedy, it's this YouTube, sketch comedy group. Bro Rape is pretty famous, Spelling Bee sketch. My friend Mark showed me their stuff years ago. And then when I was in New York, my friend Mike, who I mentioned at the top of the show, the one who got the branding, he hooked us up with tickets to go see one of their improv sketch shows, and it was fucking excellent. I actually believe that was the day I broke up with Ian, perhaps. Or maybe that was we had broken up and that was our first attempt at reconciling day. Whew, that was a hot girl. That then, the very next morning led to, that's, there's no question, we're for sure broken up. Ah, hot. Anyway, that dude's really cool. And he has his own, little rap project. And this is a song from that. It's called Bitch, Look at Me Now. And it's like the little tale. The tale of his nerdy life blossoming into a beautiful, famous butterfly. Kind of a Bloodhound Gang style thing going on. Lots of puns. Nice little song. Glover is his name. His last name is Glover. Daniel Glover? Is that it? Or am I just thinking of Danny Glover? I know he's no relation. Somebody Glover. Anyway, this is his song. It was cool.
Like a chess piece, and I move real quick like Nestle. Let me make it clear for a second, like Pepsi. I was never worried about my wallet being empty, cause when it was empty, I was still happy. Walking with my Walkman, freestyle rapping. High school bullies like, what the fuck happened? Nigga off the hook like I fucking shot the captain. And this is me relaxing, rapping is my hobby. I did this in my bedroom where I separate my laundry, watching old episodes of Shining Time Station. You are now listening to my mouth on vacation. Why you doing this? What's your motivation? I am just a rapper, I don't need the paper. No, Will Smith went off without a hitch, man. C-H-I-L-D is the ish, man. Do 16 bars, no wristband. I'll always be childish, call me Maggie Simpson. Run the track like my tongue's an Olympian. I've always been this good, you just weren't listening. I'ma try to make my street cred stack up. I mean, I'm rapping over Grizzly Bear, what the fuck? Gather swagger up before I take it all. You started rapping when you wasn't good at basketball. I started rapping cause I fucking need some Adderall. I can't do one thing, I'm just too good. I can't do one thing, I am Tiger Woods. I make your iPod hotter than a lighter would. Picture me in sixth grade, overweight, overbite. Got my fake Adidas on, whiting out the fourth stripe. Kid named Vincent got it out for me, I hate that guy.
Frodo from Chicago, really small and shy. You better recognize, cause I know better now. Cause I was always sick, my life's a hospital. And that's some funny shit, that turned his appetite. That female dog is blind, well bitch look at me now. I'm wearing tight jeans, and nobody's laughing. More pussy than recycled sanitary napkins. Bitch sitting shotgun in my Tracy Chapman. I did exactly what you niggas said would never happen. I'm doing me so big, I can hardly walk. These rappers need ER like they're Charlie Park. Stay hard like my suit made by Tony Stark. This kind of music make your balls drop, Dick Clark. Yes, I'm grown and sexy, and I'm worth the wait. Girls act like I'm the only dude on earth today. Put these words on your head and let them percolate. We need to separate, nigga, to church and state. I used to have to pay for gas in my mama's Saturn, and now I'm paying for a mortgage as a working actor. If living my life is what you say you're chasing after, nigga, stop talking shit and just be a rapper. Be a rapper.